if I could live my life over again, this would be a better world today, dwelt in by happier people. For I think I would not have committed the folly of my youth, the folly that has drawn the lines for conflict and suffering that you are heir to now. My father and my mother, I know, committed a greater folly, but the punishment that was laid upon them was the sentence of an all-wise judge, and in the end, a demonstrable blessing. A blessing that might have descended unsullied to you of this present world, had it not been for my folly, which, among other things, led to my death. And to the death of countless other men and women and children and the laying waste of many a fair countryside through the years. I never saw the country where my father and mother first lived, but I've heard them speak of it so many times. At first with an aching homesickness that was almost a madness between them. And then as the years went on in my early manhood, with a kind of hopeless uncertainty, as of a dream once vivid and now dim and tattered in the years, never to be recalled and therefore a thing to be put away forever. My father, I recall him well. A tall, heavy man, a little stooped with toil, smiling slowly and saying little. His hair long and black. I did not live to see the gray creep in. A man of prodigious strength and temper. In short, the quiet-spoken, home-loving, working man, father of all ages. My mother, the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. I agree I had little opportunity then for comparison with other women, but there have been many women since in this world, and none to rival her. Discontented a little, impatient a little. But a wise, loving mother to her two sons, and a dutiful wife to their father. And my brother. It is a good thing that my brother lived, that he was born and existed, and strove with his hands, delving in the valleys and tilling the broad fields, learning the secrets of the earth and the ways of seeds and plants and green things. I think he was the salt of the earth, although I procured for him a bad name, to my cost and the world's. He was a little older than I, the firstborn, and naturally the first beloved, until I was born. I think he was more my father's son than I. He had my father's ways, his slow speech, his long silences, his giant strength. And my father's slow-kindling, deep-seated, terrible anger that smoldered far below the placid eyes and the peaceful countenance. Only twice have I seen my brother's temper flare. And the second time was my undoing. And yours. I think I was my mother's son. Perhaps I made it that way. I did make it that way. But I shall tell you. Bear with me. We dwelt at the head of a valley far from the place where my father and mother first lived. It was a humble place, but tall trees shadowed our house. A sparkling hillside brook ran gurgling down the hill not 100 paces from our door. In the summer's heat, the hills grew brown and barren under the sun, save for the plots below the slopes where my brother cunningly led the water to the little stream, where the corn and the millet and the barley prospered. And the fruit trees on the hill above the house where my brother's too. He tended them daily against the harvest of the fall, while I frolicked in the stream or lazed away the long afternoons in the shade of the plane trees. I remember the rain, my brother and my father toiling in a steamy downpour at some homely task, while I sat dry and comfortable under the thatch shelter and laughed at their dripping, mud-spattered labors. It was a good life we led, we the pioneers, we the happy family in the olden good days and the summers and the long, slow winters, in the cheerful spring and the golden harvest days of the fall. Pioneers in a smiling land, unpeopled by enemies, unmarred by discontent, hatred. So it was in the early days of my youth. So it could have been today, were it not for my folly. I remember an evening when my brother and I sat alone in the twilight, resting, deep in the toil of the day. tonight in the day's pleasure. Brother, I said. Brother, tell me something. What did you and Father do with the fruit and grain and things you carried away this morning?
We took them down to the grove, same as we always do.
Well, what did you do with them there?
We left them there.
Just left them there?
Yeah. Just left them there.
Well, why did you do that?
Well, you know how Father feels. You know how religious he is.
I know. But I don't understand why he does this. It seems like wasting things.
Those things aren't wasted.
Well, what happens to them?
They're sacrificed.
I don't understand that.
Well, it's like this.
Well, go ahead.
Hard to explain. Your father gives you things. Food. Things to play with. What do you do?
I don't do anything.
You say thank you, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Well, this sacrifice is a kind of way of saying thank you for all the wonderful things we have. For the fields and the sunshine. And the for everything. For just living.
Oh.
We have plenty, you see. It's only fair for us to give up some of it for a thank offering. You understand?
What would happen if you didn't do it?
I don't know.
Would something terrible happen? Would we have bad luck, maybe? Would we die?
I don't know.
Well, do we just sacrifice what we want to?
We sacrifice the best we have, Sonny.
Has it got to be the best?
That's what your father and I think. And your mother.
What if it isn't good enough?
It has to be the best things you have.
Can I sacrifice something?
When you're old enough.
I'll sacrifice some wonderful things.
Of course you...
And they won't be just old ears of corn and bundles of millet and stuff like that.
Somebody we could give some of our plenty to. Don't you, Father?
We can give it to the Lord, son.
It'll be a mighty sacrifice this year.
All the better we have it to give.
But I wish sometimes there were some other people we could see, be neighbors with. day will come, son. The day will come. We may not live to see this world teeming with people, but we're the pioneers, and they'll live to be grateful to us. I'm thankful I have a son like you.
You've got two sons, Father.
Oh, yes, but your brother.
But what was I to do? What tasks were there left that I could perform to please my father and to supplant my brother? I could not think. And the other thought. How would I ever prosper in life if I had nothing to give, nothing to sacrifice as my father and my brother did? My mother found me in the dark as I sat there, sniveling at my unlucky situation. As I sat there, dissolved in unworthy tears of self-pity.
Is that you, son?
Mother.
I've been looking all over for you. What's the matter, dear?
I don't feel good.
Are you sick, child?
I'm just good for nothing.
Oh, now, son. What happened?
Well, I can't do anything.
You can't do anything? What do you mean?
Well, brother does everything, and father tells him how wonderful he is, and I'm just useless.
Oh, come now, son. There's plenty for you to do. You always help mother around the house, and you're young.
I'm not either. I'm just no good.
That's a silly attitude for you to take. Now, what put all this in your mind so suddenly?
Mother, I want to be useful.
Well, you are useful.
I haven't got anything to sacrifice.
Oh, that's it, huh?
Yes. Father.
I know, dear. I didn't know you were so serious about things.
Mother, how can I ever get things if I don't have anything to sacrifice?
Get things?
Well, I mean, I won't prosper.
Oh, you poor child. You come in now and have your supper and you'll feel better. And then in the morning.
But in the morning, I wandered away, still downcast, before my parents and my brother had arisen. I do not remember what dark thoughts occupied my mind as I climbed the dew-drenched hillsides, wrestling with my problems. I do not know how far I walked through the morning in the hot sun of noon, nor where I wandered. I tired with the afternoon, I remember, and under a tall oak tree on the top of a hill, I lay my head and slept. Dreams haunted me. Dreams of my tall, laughing brother, rich and happy, surrounded by a cheerful and happy family in some far land. Dreams of myself begging bread from a stranger, unblessed and unhappy. Dreams of poverty and want in a world I never knew. I saw myself dependent at long last upon the bounty of my brother, the farmer, the tiller of the soil, a laborer who had enough to sacrifice to ensure a good life for himself, while I suffered the pangs of hunger. And I awoke to the curious stare of a pair of tiny, grave little lambs. Two little lambkins who stood and made bleating noises at the strange figure on the back, who tottered to me and seized my fingers in their black little mouths and tugged at them valiantly. And so, when at sunset I made my weary way into the clearing around our house, I had found my vocation. The lambs objected mightily to being dragged up for inspection by my father and brother and my weeping mother. But there was a hot supper for me and barley meal for the lambs. And I talked bravely of the prosperity my new acquisition would bring to us all. I suppose I was meant to be a shepherd. My two little lambs grew. Presently, there were more lambs. My father taught me to shear them as they grew bigger. I found out the roar of the sheep herder for myself. It was pleasant on the hillsides with the tinkle of the wether's bell. And the flock grew apace. Ah, how I remember those long afternoons. With the clouds drifting lazily above me, the pleasant, drowsy sound of the sheep as they grazed peacefully around me. It was a lazy life, but a good one. I could laze away the afternoon securely, laughing to think of my burly brother toiling away in the sun-baked fields, fighting his eternal battle with the earth for his sustenance. I built my own hut on the hillside above the home place. with me, bring me cakes of millet or deep jars of sweet wine from my brother's grapes. There was an afternoon.
Well, son, you're doing fine with the sheep.
I'm glad, Father. This is what I like to do.
How many have you now?
16. But there'll be lambs in the spring.
I'm making you a nice wool coat, son, from the first shearing.
Oh, thank you, Mother.
I wish you could come home oftener, though.
You miss me?
Of course we do, son. That's why we come up to see you here.
Well, what about... Well, you've got a son around the house all the time.
He's pretty busy.
How's he doing with the crop?
Well, not very well this year.
Oh, what's the matter?
It's just a bad year, son.
What's the matter? Didn't he sacrifice?
I don't think I like the way you said that, son.
Why, I didn't mean anything, Father.
I hope you didn't. Yes, your brother sacrificed. You know he did.
Maybe he didn't sacrifice enough.
Yes, he did.
Or maybe it wasn't good enough.
Son, it's not your place to decide what's good and what's bad.
I wasn't, Father. I was only asking.
The crops are going to be very small this year.
It looks as if you're the support of the family this time, son.
Me? That's fine. I'm some use after all, then.
Son.
Of course you're some use. You're a great deal of use.
More than my brother.
This year, anyway.
Son.
I can't help it, Mother. I'm happy.
I chanted the old words of the ceremony loudly and joyfully. The black smoke rose to heaven. We all rejoiced greatly. We all rejoiced, except my brother. Now it was his turn to stand empty-handed and glum, although he did try to smile at me when I turned triumphantly away to look at him. The poor, withered ears of corn he put on his own altar looked very meager compared with the lavishness of my gift. And when, in an excess of good feeling, I gave him one of the lambs to offer up on his own altar, he couldn't even make the fire stay lit. I had to help. I was very happy. And I rue the day now. Yes, of course it was selfishness. It wasn't devotion. I was very happy. And when in the morning I left again to return to the hillside pastures, for my flock had grown and there would be much for me to do, my brother humbly came to me and laid a hand on my shoulder.
Is it all right if I walk back with you to see the flock?
Why, haven't you got anything to do here?
There's not a thing to do here. Crops are in, but there is no more.
Well, isn't that too bad?
Yeah, is that?
Well, come on along.
Thank you. I don't know what happened this year.
It is strange, isn't it?
You've done well. I'm proud of you.
Oh, well, you know, I told you I'd sacrificed something wonderful.
Yes, I remember.
I sacrificed the first lamb this family ever sacrificed.
It was wonderful.
Too bad your sacrifice was so cheap and bad.
I did the best I could. That's all anybody could do.
Oh, well, but you should have been like me. It's all very well to dig up the ground, but it takes something more to do what I've done.
I've done pretty well in the past, boy.
I don't see how you can expect to do very much when all you've got to offer is some old corn and stuff like that.
It was good enough for you for a long time.
Of course, but now
I've worked hard all my life.
You don't have to work hard if you don't want to. I don't work hard. And look at me.
Yes.
I think Father and Mother are a little disappointed in you, you know.
They are not.
Oh, I think they are. I could see the way they looked at you. And at me.
I don't believe you.
And you didn't do very well with your sacrifice. Not even when I had to give you something to sacrifice.
You stop that.
I think your day's over, brother.
I told you to stop talking that way.
Yes, you're done. You were all right, so I got started and made a good sacrifice. Oh, go on back and dig holes in the ground, you farmer.
You.
And you do what?
You don't stop talking that way.
And I lay there on the ground. The sky had turned to blood red and the hills danced crazy.
I heard my brother run away, and his cries filled my ears with sound. It is more than I can bear, he said. And those are the last words of his I heard. My good, kindly brother. And through him, I brought strife and terror and hopelessness into the best of all worlds. Our heir to the evil that I set free. I was my brother's keeper. And I failed my trust. Thank you.